Today we're going to be in the book of James, so if you have your Bibles, open up to the book of James. Looking at James chapter 4, verse 14. The title of today's sermon is Defining Moments. You have one life. What will you do with it? You have one life. What will you do with it? James chapter 4, verse 14. I want to warn you just ahead of time. This is a heavy sermon that's been on my heart that God has given me today. And so normally I like to be lighthearted and happy and joking. And well, there's just not a whole lot of that in this message. This is a message that's kind of heavy, but it's one that 'll cause us to think. And so I pray that if you've got something on your mind that's taking you away from here today, something that you're worried about or focused on, that you'll pray that that will go away so that you can absorb the Word of God and what God has to tell you today. So the title of the sermon today is Defining Moments in Life. You have one life. What are you going to do with it? James chapter 4, verse 14. Here's what God's Word has to say. It says, why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. It says, why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Let's bow our head and go to the Lord in prayer today. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray, God, that you would touch every single person in our congregation today, Lord. God, every one of us needs you. We need you in some way today, whether it's to grow closer to you, whether it's because we're going through a struggle in our life, whether it's because we're trying to overcome an addiction or a battle. God, I pray, Lord, that you'll minister to every single one of our souls today, Lord. God, I pray if there's something that we're focused on today that's not you, that's not worshiping you today. But God, we're sitting here. Maybe some of us are here because we were drug here. Maybe others of us are here because we want to be here. Maybe others of us want to be here, but we're just kind of in a tough mood today. Lord, I pray that you would break down the barriers between us and you. The walls would come falling down, God, so that we could hear what your word has to say as it ministers to our life today. Jesus, we love you. We know you're the only way to heaven. You're the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through you. And so, Lord, we thank you for dying on the cross for our sins. We thank you for loving us unconditionally. We thank you for teaching us how to love one another. And, Lord, we thank you for this time that we have to share with you today, Lord. Use me, God, as an open vessel to speak the word of truth that you have for us. And let us open our hearts to receive it. For it's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Like I said, today's kind of a tough sermon on my heart. I'm going to say a word, and I don't want you to say anything out loud, but I want you to think what comes to your mind when I say this word. Life. When you hear the word life, what's the first thing you picture? For me, it's holding a newborn baby, coddling a newborn baby in my arms, looking at that precious face for the first time. To me, that's life. For my wife, life is a deep gasp of air, that first breath of air. To her, that means life. For some of you, it may mean flowers blooming in the spring when you see those flowers burst open from their little bulbs. Maybe that's what life means to you. If you're a farmer or a gardener, it might mean after you planted those seed and you see that little tiny green thing poking out of the ground, like, yes, it's coming alive. That might mean what life is to you. But when you really think about the word life, it's an interesting word, isn't it? An interesting word. Life could mean your heartbeat. It could mean the blood that runs through your body. It could mean the excitement that happens on your face when you hear good news. Life. Today I want to talk about what a blessing life is. In life we get to experience so many things. We really do. God has been so good to us. I mean, we get to use our eyes to be able to see all the beautiful things and creatures that God created. We get to go to the flower garden, say in Topeka. Or we get to go to the zoo and see all the strange animals God created. And we see them, all those beautiful colors. It's great to be alive. What about our hands? We get to use our hands to touch and feel the soft gentleness of human skin, or maybe the spiny spikes on a locust tree. What a blessing it is just to be able to feel and to be able to touch. It's good to be alive. It's neat to be able to use our ears. When you walk outside on a cool, brisk morning and you hear the birds or the crickets at night, it just reminds you of how big of a world you live in and the neat part that you play in it. Our noses. Some of us have bigger noses. Some of us have smaller noses. Mine is pretty big. Matches my belly. I love the smell, the beautiful smell of lavender. And I could never turn down a fresh baked cookie. Thank the Lord for noses. Being alive is precious. Many of us that have experienced life, we know what it's like to have that first kiss and to be in love. Isn't that awesome? Makes you feel alive. To land our first job. To be able to have an accomplishment of graduating grade school or high school or reaching that pinnacle of being able to retire and enjoy retirement. Being able to enjoy life. We know what it's like to laugh. We know what it's like to cry. We know what it's like to mourn and to rejoice. Life. That's what we have to celebrate today. Being alive is absolutely amazing. And in our life, as we grow, as we mature, as we learn about different things and we experience life, we have these things I like to call defining moments. Big moments where you make a decision in your life that changes the future. You make a decision in your life that changes the outcome of the future. You know, in just the past few weeks, we've had a lot of moments like that in our church. We have. We've had a lot of life-defining moments at our church. We've had an engagement. We've had Kyle and Faith and Alyssa and Jordan pledge their love to be married in the future and united together as one before Jesus Christ in holy matrimony. Life-changing, life-defining moment. We had a person, Josh, starting his very first real job. The beginning of adulthood and paying bills. Never-ending bills. Still a life-defining moment. Something that's going to change his life forever. Yesterday we had a wedding. Angela and Tommy got married. Marriage changes your life and how you live forever and coming together. Can I get an amen, Mike?
Amen.
Amen. This past Wednesday, I celebrated my baptism. Say, you do that stuff? Yeah. That's my birth, my spiritual birth. I celebrated my baptism of over 20 years ago, accepting Jesus as my Lord and Savior in front of the heavenly host and all the people at the Lake Hills Free Will Baptist Church. I put it on my calendar every year. It brings a smile to my heart, and I just thank God for calling me to Him. Because without that, I don't know where I'd be. Talk about a life-defining moment. And then just a few days ago on Thursday, we had a life-defining moment. It's Mary's husband and Marcia's dad passed away. It was a tough day. But we went in there on a Wednesday, and I shared the love of Jesus. Marcia said, can you come over? I said, sure. We went over there, and I talked to everybody, and I shared the gospel, how you can come to know Jesus and be saved. And he was sitting there. And he wasn't talking or really responding much. But I put my hand in his. I got on my knees. And I told him, here's how you can know Jesus is your Lord and Savior. You don't have to say anything. All you have to do is make that decision in your heart. God knows what decision you made. And as we prayed, he squeezed my hand. And as I told him that he could go to heaven if he accepted Jesus and knew who Jesus was, repented of his sins, he had a little tear that came down the corner of his eye. And then for some crazy reason, I felt the need to sing Jesus Loves You. And everybody started singing. Joanna started singing. Marcia started singing. Amber started singing. And we were all, Jennifer started singing, and we sang Jesus Loves Me. What a beautiful moment, but a life-defining moment. A moment that will change your lives forever. Life. What is it? You have one life to live. How are you going to live your life? You only have one. How are you going to live your life? I started thinking about this as I was driving home on Highway 99 back to Eureka, and I saw a deer running on the side of the street. That's always a terrifying experience, by the way. But because if you see one, you know there's another one somewhere. And you don't see that one. So anyway, I see it laying down, driving, running by the side of my car, and I think, oh, it's going to come over any minute now. And I try to stop, and it runs up a little, and then I speed up, and then it speeds up. I'm like, it's like running after me like a dog. I'm like, oh, no. But I start thinking about it. You know, one moment in life we're running, and the next moment we're passed away. How short life is. You know, you don't get to start over after your life has ended. Sorry if you thought you did, but you don't. You don't get a chance to go back in time and fix those past mistakes. You can't undo the pains or the hurts that you caused. You can't even redo today. When it's over, it's over. When this day, September 23rd, is over in about 12 and a half hours, there will never be another September 23rd of 2018 again. It's over forever. It's gone. It'll be September 24th. And so I want you to realize how serious the life is that you live in the time that you have here, how precious it really is. Today could be your defining moment. It could be the moment where you make a decision that changes your future forever. It could be a day where you say, you know what, I'm not going to let the past rule over me anymore. Whatever happened in the past, it happened in the past. I asked for forgiveness. Jesus forgave me. It's in the past. It's gone. I'm not worrying about it anymore. I'm not living in the past. Today could be the day you say, you know, the future that I've been living in, and someday I'm going to do this, someday I'm going to do that. I'm going to stop wasting all my energy. I'm worrying about that. And I'm going to live today in the present. And I'm going to do the best job I can today, because this is the only time I'm promised is the moments that we have right now. Several years ago, I heard this motto, and I had Josh put it up on the screen for us today. And this motto says, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Maybe you've heard it, maybe you haven't. But this motto tells me three things about our life. And that's what I want to cross-examine with Scripture today, these three things. I want to kind of dissect this motto and see what it says. The first part says, only one life. That tells us that our life on earth, it's only one. We only get one. This missionary, Antonine Judson, said this, you have but one life in which to prepare for eternity. If you had four or five lives, two or three of them could be spent careless. But since you only have one, every action of that one life gives coloring to your eternity. How important then that you spend that life as to please the Lord and Savior. I don't know about you, but those are profound words to me. A lot of times you get second chances in life. There's people here at our church that have told me and said, you know what, Pastor? I should have been dead. But God had saved my life by doing this thing. They say, I want to live the rest of my life for Him. I hope if you're paying attention tonight that and you're one of those people that shared that with me, I hope that's true and you still really are trying to live every day for the Lord. I've heard a lot of teens and college students and young adults use this term, YOLO, YOLO, right? Does anybody know what that means? You only live once. And so they use it as an excuse to go drinking and partying and live careless and do crazy things. But I don't think that's what that phrase is about. You only live once. I think it's you got one life to live to make an impact in this world. What are you doing with your life to make an impact, to make a difference in the world that we live in today? I remember when I first came here to Kansas, I met an older gentleman. And he was passing away cancer. He was in his 70s and he got diagnosed with cancer. And so I started visiting him. And most of the times we'd go back and we'd talk about the good old days. I love listening to older people. I think their stories are fantastic. I've learned about people who lived in adobe houses built out of clay bricks. I've learned about people who didn't have TVs when they grew up. Heck, I talked to Ariana yesterday and she was so impressed at Presby Manor. She went into somebody's room. They had a rotary phone. She said, Pastor Allen, you ever seen a rotary phone? You like spin your finger on it, goes da 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 da. I started cracking up like, yeah, that's what I grew up with, man. But I love hearing the stories of older people. And so I'm going over there seeing what can I do to help this man, you know, in his last days of life. And so I talked to him. And instead of sharing the good old days like we normally talked about, he started more of a confessional. And he came to me and he said, "You know, Alan, I have some things heavy on my heart. I'm going to be passing away soon. I don't know if you knew that." I said, "Well, that's kind of how we met." He goes, "Oh, yeah, I guess so." Said, "Well, I'm not really happy or proud of myself for the way I live my life." He goes, "What about you?" I wasn't about to confess to this guy. But I started thinking, I don't know. Am I happy the way that I live my life? I started thinking, did I teach my kids all that I know how to do? Do they know how to go camping? Do they know how to change tires? And do they know how to change oil and do all these different things? Do they know how to throw a football? Do they know what soccer is? I don't know. I was thinking of all these things. As he's talking, I said, "I don't know if I taught my children everything I know." He said, "That's not what I'm talking about." He said, "Do you regret the way you live your life? Have you made any decisions that you regret?" I started thinking. I thought I was going to help this guy. And it turns out he was doing more help to me. So I started thinking. He said, "You know, let me share with you. I neglected my family because of my job. I haven't been there for my children," he said, "like I wish I would have been there for my children." He said, "I read that scripture the other day in Proverbs about training your child up in the name of the Lord. I had faith and knew Jesus, but I never shared that with my kids. I missed the opportunities to make my life count by doing good things and helping people. Instead, I turned them down because I was tired or lazy and didn't want to do anything." He said, "Instead of living for Jesus, what I did was I lived for myself. I lived for sin and the pleasure of sin. I drank when I wanted to drink. I did drugs when I wanted to do drugs. I worked when I wanted to work. The only thing I cared about was making money and accumulating material things." He said, "You know what, Alan? You might think I'm a good guy, but there's a lot of people in this town that would think against that. I'm an amazingly selfish human being that cares about nobody but myself." How do you respond to that? What do you say to somebody who says that? I wanted to hug him. He put his head down and he looked back up and he had glassy eyes with water in him. He said, "I just wish I could do it over." And he said, "You know what? Maybe I'm sharing this with you because maybe you've got one of the problems that I've had. You're young. Don't make the same dumb mistakes that I did. You only have one life to live and you can't do it over." Hearing it from a young man like me might be different, but hearing it from an older man who is passing away, it made me think. Gave me a lot to think about. So the first point of our message today is you only have one life. Back to the motto, it says, you got one life to live, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. The second part is, 'twill soon be past. It's amazing to me that more preachers don't preach on this stuff and tell you how the brevity of life, how short it is, and how we don't have a whole lot of time here on earth to be able to do great things for the Lord. And the reason I say that is because the scripture is filled with it. There's tons of things in here that compare our life to things that die and pass away very quickly. The message that I opened up with in the scripture in James 4:14 says, "For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then it vanishes away." Kind of like the vapor from a teapot. It's there one moment and then it's gone. If you have something that you need to say to somebody, if you need forgiveness, if you need to repent, if you wrong somebody, now is the day to call them and tell them you're sorry. Now is the day to call them up and say, "I love you." You don't know what tomorrow brings. And the scripture is so strong about that. So here it compares our life to just a little tiny vapor. But in Psalm 103:15-16, it says this, "As for man, his days are like grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it and it's gone, and its place remembers it no more." Ugh. Our life is like that of grass. I remember when Shannon and I bought our first mobile home. Anybody live in a mobile home before? It was pretty cool. I was super excited about it too. Yeah, we bought our first mobile home. We found out we were pregnant with faith, and we're excited. So we got our mobile home, and we moved it into this little lot. We never had our own yard before. So we're like, yes, we got a yard. I want to put up a white picket fence and all this stuff, you know. And Shannon says, she starts drawing out on a paper all where she's going to plant these beautiful flowers. And I'm like, yes, we can have beautiful flowers. This is going to be good. And so we go out to Home Depot. And now Shannon, she's a master gardener in Texas. She's taken all these tests and certifications in plants. She worked with Wolf Nursery and all this stuff. And so she knows all this stuff, how far to plant them apart, what you can plant in. I know nothing about plants. I just know that some flowers are pretty and some aren't. And I want the pretty ones. Amen? Amen. Amen. And so we're going there and we're looking at Home Depot. I'm reading all the tags. You can plant this so far apart. I don't care about that. How big does the thing get? What color is it? I mean, that's all I care about. And so all the plants that I find and flowers, they're called annuals. Does anybody know what an annual is? Yeah, so I don't know what an annual is. I do now, obviously, but that means that the flower or plant lives its whole life in 1 year and then it's dead forever. And so, but all the pretty ones are annuals. So I pick up all these flowers. I got them in our basket. And my wife goes out to me and she's like, put all those back. I'm like, what are you talking about? These are pretty. This one's big and it's going to be awesome. She says, no, those are junk. They're not even going to be alive next year. I'm like, what do you know? You know, well, you don't know what you're talking about. So I go ask the Home Depot guy. I'm like, hey, is this stuff going to be alive next year? Oh, if you water it, it'll be alive next year. Man, this guy works at Home Depot. He knows what he's talking about. Shannon's like, all right, fine. You buy all your little pretty foo-foo flowers. I'm going to buy my flowers, and we'll see who's alive next year. I'm like, yeah, you're on. Let's see what happens. You know what I had? Dirt the next year. You know what she had? Flowers. So I learned that the truth is, and I didn't tell you this story just so that you could, just to show how dumb I was and how right my wife was. I tell you this story just to share with you that like annual life of a flowers are short, those beautiful flowers, so are our life is short too. I mean, it's short. And so that's what the scripture is saying. And there's all kinds of places in scripture. Job 14, 1 and 2 talks about man who is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. Remember that for your husband's lady. But it continues on in verse 2, says, he comes forth like a flower and fades away. He flees like a shadow and does not continue. That's a great scripture to look at later. But also Psalm 78, 39 talks about we're like a wind that passes by. Later on in Job 7, 6 talks about we're like a weaver's shuttle. Or in Hosea 10, 7 it talks about we're like foam on the water. I think you get the point is that our lives are short. So what do we know so far? We got one life to live and our lives are short. Wow, we don't have a lot going for us right now. But one life and it's short, right? So we got to make our lives count for Jesus today. Amen? Amen. The last part of our motto says, only what's done for Christ will last. And the third point I want to make is our life is serious. It's serious. It's not a joke. And you know the funny thing about people? Somebody told me people are like sheep. Then I said, well, I don't know a whole lot about sheep. But I do know a little bit about people. And I started looking in scripture, and you know, it talks about us like sheep all the time. And I said, I want to do a little more research. Does anybody know what sheep do? I want to know a little bit more about sheep. And so I start researching some sheep. Shannon said, what does that have to do with serious and life for the sermon? I don't know, but I got to look at sheep and figure it out. So I started looking at these sheep. And sheep go just from one clump of grass to the next. They don't care about where they're going. They start out over here, and they're by their shepherd. Life is good. Before you know it, they're like, oh, there's some good grass over there. Hey, there's some good grass over here. Hey, there's some good grass over here. And if they didn't have a shepherd saying, hey, Alan, get back over here, goofball, I would be all the way out somewhere else because, hey, I was just looking at that next clump of grass. And as humans, we do the same thing. We look for that next fix, that next fix of pleasure, that next fix of happiness, and we don't stick our head up to see where we're at. We're like, oh, great, I can get promoted if I do that. I'll do this. Oh, I can get more money if I go over here. Okay, I'll do this. Oh, well, somebody will say I'm doing a good job if I do this. Okay, I'm doing this. And before we look out, we're like, hey, where did everybody go? We're lost. That's why Jesus says, I want to be your shepherd. There's so many millions of people walking around on the face of this earth. They have no idea what their purpose in life is. Like, we don't know what we're doing. We just go from one clump of grass to the next. So I guess we are kind of like sheep. But you know, the scripture tells us what our role is. In Isaiah 43, 7, it says, everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. That means we're supposed to be created for God's glory, right? In 1 Corinthians 10:31, Paul says, whether we eat or we drink or whatever we do, do it all for the glory of God. So I ask you today, you got one life. Your life is short. Your life is serious. You're supposed to be living for the glory of God. Look at your life today. Are you bringing glory to God by the decisions you make? Or are you tarnishing the name Christian by the way you carry yourself? If you're not putting God first, now could be that defining moment that changes your life forever. God put all of us on this earth to be able to glorify Him. And we do that by loving Him with all of our hearts, by fellowshipping with Him, by serving Him and others, by keeping His commandments. What are you doing? What are you doing with the life God gave you? I'll tell you what's the true fact, folks. Most of us have stuff we have to get done every day, amen? And what we do is we focus on what we have to get done and we miss out on everything God has to do for us. We do. Just like that goofy sheep I was talking about that went to spot without looking up, you and I do the same thing. I got to go to Walmart. I have to run these errands. We don't look up to see who's around us, what needs they are. Even the beautiful sky that God gave us, we're not focused on that. We're focused on getting what we got to get at Walmart and getting out. When we go to do our job, we're focused on completing the task that our boss gives us instead of looking at what the overall problem is. Maybe you could help solve a bigger problem by stepping back instead of solving that little tiny problem and saying, you know, really, there's a much bigger issue that we could talk about. We go from spot to spot instead of looking at the big picture. And church, when we come to the end of this short, one single life that we live, and face eternity, the most important thing won't be what job we had, won't be where we lived, won't be what our parents or friends did, won't be about how much money we have in our 401k or savings or retirement, won't be how many bills we left behind. What'll be the first most important thing is, did you know Jesus is your Lord and Savior? Because folks, I'm going to tell you right now, that's the only way to get to heaven. It doesn't matter if you sit in this church or 10 other ones across the city. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're not getting there. That's right. That's the only way. It's a personal relationship. The second thing is, what have you done with what God has given you? God has given you life. Do you waste it by sitting on a recliner all day? Do you go out and serve Him and serve other people? I was talking to Shane the other day. I called him up. He was to return his phone call and he couldn't answer because he was mowing his neighbor's grass. Praise the Lord. Ron has a neighbor that does that for him sometimes, right? How does that make you feel? Doesn't it make you happy? Yeah. I mean, we got to serve one another and serve the Lord. Time is lent to us. It's a gift that God blesses us with. But sooner or later, our time will be expired. I read this poem, and I want to share it with you before I get ready to close our message today. It's called The Clock of Life. It says, the clock of life is wound but once. And no man has the power to say just when the hands will stop at late or early hour. Now is the only time we own to do His precious will. Do not wait until tomorrow, for the clock may then be still. Remember, congregation, our life is single. We only have one life. Our life is short, just a tiny speck of time in the light of eternity. And our life is serious. Very serious. And as I get ready to close the message today, I wonder, are you living your life to glorify God? Because that's what your purpose is. Are you living a life that's happy and more abundant? Because that's the life that God wants you to have. But you may not have that joy inside your heart if you don't know Jesus, because you don't know what unconditional love is like. Maybe you're here today and you're saying, you know, Pastor, I'm like that old man you were talking to. I've lived a lot of my life for pleasure, for myself, for family, for my job, for money and materialistic things, for popularity and people's accolades. But I haven't done the important things. Today could be your life-defining moment where you say, man, I got to stop that. I only have so much longer left. I want to live for my family. I want to live for my Lord. You know, if you look through the Bible, you can see there's been defining moments, life changes in many of our biblical characters. For Paul, it was the blinding light on the road to Damascus. For Moses, it was the burning bush. For Peter, it was exercising his faith by walking on water. For Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, it was walking through that burning, fiery furnace, not knowing how they were going to make it through the end. For Daniel, it was deliverance from the lion's den. For Joshua, it was for parting the Jordan River and crossing into the promised land. And for you, it could be this sermon, that small voice, the Holy Spirit talking to you right now. There's been many defining moments in human life history, but is this one yours, the one that changes the outcome of your life forever? Only one life, 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. In the beginning of the sermon today, I said we have one life to make a difference in the world. Think about it. What are you doing with the life that God blessed you with today? Let's stand and bow our heads as we go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, God, I thank you for this heavy message, God. And while it is heavy, Lord, it's important. A lot of times we don't think about, God, that we only have one life. We don't think about that once this day's over, it's over forever. God, all we care about is, I'm going on vacation in 2 weeks. I got this going on in a couple weeks. We're so focused on the future sometimes, or we're so stuck in the past of what happened in the past and how people treat us, that, God, we don't live in the present and enjoy the day you gave us today. Help us, God, to remember. We've got one life. It's short and it's serious. God, help us to take the blessing that you gave us today and use it. Lord, as I was preparing for the message, I had a friend who sent me something. And I verified it. It said 106 people pass away per minute. 6,316 people, Jesus, pass away per hour. 151,000 pass away per day. And over 55 million pass away per year in this world. We don't know what tomorrow will bring. Our life really is like a vapor that vanishes, just like it says in our scripture in James chapter 4 today. God, help us to use today to bless. Help us to use today to live for you. If today is a defining moment for us and we need to come up here and pray that you'll change the course of our life, God, I pray, God, you'll give us the courage to do that. As I sing this verse of invitation, Josh is going to play for us. Lord, I Need You by Matt Mayer. If you need to come and pray for any reason, you're welcome to come and pray at this time. God wants to help you. He knows your life is short. He knows you only have one of them to live, and He knows it's serious. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, or you're troubling with something today, come bring it to the Lord. Don't waste another minute, because we're not promised tomorrow. Use the gift that God gave you today, and that's the present. Thank you. If you have anything you'd like to come pray about or praise Jesus about, you're welcome to come to the altars or sing the beautiful song of invitation today. Thank you, Lord, for it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God. Your grace is more, for grace is found, is where you are. Where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Lord, I need. temptation comes my way. When I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my defense.